hearing don't work very good. So.
Okay, well, if your hearing's a little low, you let me know and I'll talk louder. So today's April 22nd, 2015. We're here in the home with David James at mile 1254 on the Elkhan Highway. Mm-hmm. And I'm Leslie McCartney, and we're here with Barbara Solarius. So thank you, David, very much for letting us come and speak to you. We really appreciate it. So can we start off with just a little bit, maybe tell us where you're from, where you were born?
Well, I was born in Wisconsin, and in 1940, we moved out to eastern Washington, and then the war broke out, and Dad was afraid he might get drafted, so spring of 42, we went back to Wisconsin, and he worked there in the woods, cutting pulpwood and such for the what did that be? Anyway, logging. And then in 46, we moved back to Washington, eastern Washington. 48, moved over into Idaho. And 50, we came up here.
Why did you come up here?
Why not? Huh?
Right. So your dad and your whole family came up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you drove up?
Yep.
How old were you at the time?
The old truck over there. We was logging there in Idaho.
Uh-huh.
That's poles on there.
Yeah.
But when we came up, had a flatbed on that truck and a stake rack. And I had another one. That's a 40 Chevrolet. We had a 41 Dodge and a 40 Plymouth. There were 13 of us come up. Mm. I was the oldest of 9 kids. I was 17. And the youngest one was, 8 months. And Mom got to cook for the whole bunch of us on a 2-burner Coleman for 3 weeks.
She must have been happy.
Yeah. We left down there last day of August. Got up here 22nd of September.
And what year was that, 1950, you said?
No place to live and broke, so we had to get busy. We had brought a little cat with us to log with. Got some logs in and finally got up a cabin. Let's see, this is 14 by 24. That was, 14 by 16.
For all of you to live
in. It was kind of crowded. Then we got another cabin up. Me and one other guy.
And what area, David, were you? Where were you?
Right across from
the junction there?
Just this side.
Okay.
The old motel.
Okay.
Up the hill there, up above the bar.
Okay.
Yeah. We was up there for 3 years, then on down the road, down below where the trooper is, mm-hmm. built that place. And moved in there in 53.
This is the trooper station by Northway, is it?
It's up on, his living quarters is up on the hill.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. There's a log house and a couple other buildings there.
So that was your homestead?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
So what did your family do then? Your dad was still, did he do logging again? Or?
Yeah, we had the sawmill.
Uh-huh.
We ran that until, in 55, we moved the sawmill up onto the Gersel River. Mm-hmm. And in 56, I wandered off, get away from the sawmill, just barely making a living. And I went out to the States. A couple of GIs was getting out of the service. And I went out with one of them and then back up to Ketchikan. I worked up there for a couple months.
What were you doing?
Logging. Prince of Wales Island. Mm-hmm. It was a little different than we was used to. I remember one log in particular. It was quite an effort to get it out, even with the donkey, I guess they call him, It was about 4 foot through on the top end. 40 foot long, spruce, not a knot showing, just perfect plywood wood. It took a while.
Yeah. And so you hauled them out with donkeys, did you? You didn't have any heavy equipment.
They had several.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Quite the job. So you did that for a couple months, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was nothing to do out there other than log. So I quit, came back up here. Then I went out with another guy and went to work in the sawmill out there and eventually married his sister. She's in the other room. And that was just about 58 years ago.
So 1950, what year did you get married?
57.
57.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 11th of May will be 58 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh. I was looking for sympathy.
No, I think that's pretty admirable. Well, so after you got married, where did you go and live then?
Then we came up here. I was working in a big mill out in Oregon, but they shut down for 17 days for summer vacation and whatnot, and thought, no, 5 days up here, spend a week, and then 5 days back. But I wasn't planning on the engine going haywire in my car.
Oh, no.
So I ended up, finished the summer out in that sawmill up there on the Gersel. Uh-huh. Her folks and another couple had bought it. Went back out, and of course I didn't have my job out there. Then spring of 58, we came back up and been here ever since.
Right. You're still newcomer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what did you do when you came back up then? You just worked at the sawmill?
I went back to work in the sawmill, and then in 59 I went to work for highways.
Oh.
Highway maintenance. Up the Taylor Highway, mm-hmm. Eagle, and South Fork and whatnot.
And that mostly summer work?
For a couple of years, and then I got on permanent and transferred down here mm-hmm. and got on permanent. Right. And I spent 25 years then keeping the road rough and ready.
There's a few rough spots out there today.
Oh, yeah. Well, it ain't bad now.
No. We were up last year and they were resurfacing it. And it was kind of, but tell me about what the roads were like then when you were working on them in the early days.
Actually here, I believe in 59, they had paved here. Yeah. Taylor Highway, of course, was gravel, which in a way, that's all right. You get a bad spot, you can dump some gravel on it and go somewhere else.
Right.
And this out here, a little more effort.
Right. So that was your round work then, was it, David?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. So when did you come to this place right here where we are right now?
I moved the building in here in 62.
Okay. What was here or before? Anything? You just
nothing.
Nothing?
Just cut the brush.
Right. So you moved own in. This? You own this then?
Not yet.
Okay.
In 66. Yeah, 66. I went to homestead it. And it was close to homesteading. Great. Then land claims hit. Mm-hmm. And, I would get it when they got their property. And a couple of years ago, reminded them that I hadn't got it yet. So they done the paperwork and sent it into Fairbanks to, I don't know, Town Law Chiefs or Doyon, one or the other. And they said they didn't get title to this particular spot, probably because I was on it. They said, go to DNR. So I went to them. I called them. And they looked it up on Google, spotted the gravel pits over there and everything here, and they said they didn't have it. It says, go to DLM, which I haven't done yet, and I keep forgetting to do it. So, it don't belong to me.
You said there's some gravel pits over there. Were they your gravel pits then? Did you?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
For
the DOT.
Use that for location.
Right.
DOT. Actually, they don't use them anymore, but they did. Building the road and so on. But they showed up on
Shows up on Google, so you can figure out where
you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they was able to locate me.
So
I couldn't hide from them.
So maybe you know, when your 60th anniversary hits, you'll finally own your property.
Yeah, maybe.
Huh, that's interesting.
Well, you do have a lovely view.
Definitely.
Yeah, that we do.
You picked a beautiful spot.
And commercial power is 2 miles away. And it would cost $100,000 or better to get it on down here.
So you use a generator, you were saying, and then...
And that just eating us alive.
Well, you said just before we started recording that how much was diesel when you first started with your generator?
28 cents.
And now it's
of course, I was only making 3.5 an hour, too.
Right. And now it's up to 3...
It came down to 335.
Right. It was up over 4 a while ago.
Up over 4.
Right. So you last year you said you installed some solar panels?
Yeah, I have now.
And how's that been working?
I think it was June when we finally got it going.
You were saying on a sunny day it's good, but on a cloudy day it's not.
Yeah,
it's not
nothing.
So bright. Right.
Yeah.
And you can't, can you store the solar in batteries at all?
I've got batteries, but I don't get enough out of the solar, I guess. I don't know.
Hi. Hello. I'm Leslie. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Moira.
Hi, Moira.
And Barbara.
You are in it.
Oh, Moira.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. Very nice to meet you. Have a seat. We're just talking to David about coming up here and moving in and living here and... So your family was already here?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've lived here for quite a while.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you've been married 58 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. Did you want to partake?
Okay. Oh. I'll listen.
Okay.
All right. That's fine. So you worked for DOT most of the time. Did you do any hunting at all then, too, David? Or
Yeah.
I was saying that with my tongue in my cheek, because look at all, how many guns do we have here?
Well, that's what's left.
Oh, that you
had
more.
I had a pretty good collection. I had that full, and then I had a rock over there with 4 dozen in there. Hers are over there.
Okay, yours are in the cabinet. Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah. Did you do any guiding then, too?
No.
No, just for yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were saying that your sons have learned to hunt?
Yeah, I suppose. At what age, huh?
Well, I think they all started shooting when they were 6.
Uh-huh.
That's how old I was when I started shooting, and I figured, okay, if I can do it, well, they should be able to.
Right.
Huh. Yeah, they guided. Three of them guided out at Shoshana.
Yeah.
Was out there for a while.
So they had their own guiding businesses.
No, they worked.
They guided for Terry Overly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
How did they get started doing that, working with Terry?
Had to have some work.
They needed to work.
So they were looking for work, and that's what they found?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You do not.
And they'd hunted before, just...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of... For themselves or for the family.
Yeah.
Moose in the fall and muskrats in the spring. And learned to be pretty good shots.
One time had a Mountie stop in here. Because I was selling the cold weather bunny boots.
Oh, right.
He looked at that rack and he didn't know what to think of that. Down there, they got to be locked up, unloaded, ammunition locked somewhere else.
I'm from Canada, so I know the rules. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a little
that
nervous.
That would never fly.
Yeah.
You have any trouble with kids? I said, no.
No.
I said, they're used to it.
They've been there.
Up here, they're about as common as a knife, fork, and spoon, you know. Everybody has guns.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few kids that you couldn't do that with.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them pay no attention. They know what they're for. They see you shoot grouse and so on. Before they're old enough to shoot.
Right. Well, I just counted. I think you've got 60 guns there, about.
Yeah.
So you used to have a lot more over here, too.
Yeah, yeah, I used to have 4 dozen over there.
That rack used to be full, too.
Full. So every gun is for a different purpose? I don't know much about guns.
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. They all work.
He just likes to collect Winchesters.
Oh, I see. Okay. Huh.
Yeah, mostly just a collection.
Uh-huh.
A few of them that I like. I've used this one for over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This is the oldest one. It's an 1886 Winchester. It was made in 1888.
Mm.
It still works.
Mm-hmm. Where did you buy all of these then, David?
Oh, one just here and one there. And go to the gun shows.
Right. Collect them there.
Yeah.
What's the one that from 1800s? Can you show me that one again? Wow.
1888. It was. It's an 1886 Winchester. And it was made in 1888.
And it's heavy.
And I'd hate to have to carry that all day.
Oh, jumping. Yeah, that's really heavy. Wow. Jeez. How is it on your shoulder when you actually pull the trigger? It looks like it really throw you back.
Oh, not bad.
Not too bad?
It's heavy enough to it would take a big charge for it to hurt you.
It's the lighter ones that kick so much.
Right, right. Well, the lighter ones kick back, do they?
I think so.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So, David, do you want to tell us about your small mining venture?
Well, Howard and a couple other guys went out prospecting. And, of course, they spotted a little gold there. And
out to Gold Hill?
Yeah. Yeah, we got all excited, ended up buying the claims from Ivan Thoreau.
Mm-hmm.
He made out, we didn't. Moved a couple of cats in there. One dozer, and the other one had a bucket on it, but had problems, so they took the bucket off not far from the road. But they walked them in, and I guess it took them a week to get in there.
I think about that, yeah.
In the winter?
Spring.
Spring. Mm-hmm. Up the river?
Yeah.
And do you remember what year that was?
I don't remember.
Probably about 80, 81.
Uh-huh.
Was it that late? How old were the kids?
I don't know. Larry ran the one.
Yeah.
But that tells us roughly. I mean, I was just curious generally.
Mike would have been 20.
When were your children born then? What year
is 61, and he's the middle one.
Uh-huh.
Oh. 58, 59, 61, 62, 63.
Wow. Okay.
I was busy.
You were busy. Okay.
Yeah, I've walked a couple of those cats mm-hmm. out there.
Mm-hmm.
37 model and 42 model.
Huh.
Caterpillar D4s.
Mm-hmm.
They're still out there, and I'm sure they're usable yet.
At the site, are they? They're still there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what happened?
Not much. Done a little digging. They spent a little time out there, but like I say, ran out of water. It was way up on the hill.
Right.
And
I
think they went out again the next year for just a little while, mostly to prove up on the claims. But I got very little out of it.
And you still have the claims?
No.
No. Sold them.
Well, it didn't pay off anyway.
But you said you really liked it out there?
I just like it outdoors and being able to climb hills and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it was totally open, you know, no trees. So
lovely.
A little bit of brush and grass and flowers.
Did you build a cabin out there? No.
Did you stay in a wall tent then?
Yeah,
I stayed in a tent out there.
Yeah.
So it didn't
that's about the size of it. We're just...
So a group of you got together and went in to try
spend a bunch of money on it. And it just wasn't practical.
Wasn't profitable at all.
Expensive summer. Yeah.
Did you ever spend other time out there, Gold Hill, Shoshana area?
I didn't, but the boys had.
Uh-huh.
With their guiding.
Right.
I don't know. How many years did they guide? Mike guided for...
One of them guided 18 years and the other one 19.
Yeah. And Dan was only out there a couple of years.
One year. Yeah. And that would be 2 months each year.
So they just take people out who came up to go hunting here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
Frontier Outfitters.
Right.
Yeah, Terry
Overton. There's working for.
Mm-hmm.
Registered guide.
So, that
so they got to climb hills and you name it, ride horses. The sheep hunting gets interesting.
Yeah.
I've shot two.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, we landed in at Nabesna.
Mm-hmm.
The airstrip is marked on the map at 2,800 feet. Peak of Orange Hill is 8,158. I shot from the peak down at the sheep.
Wow.
It took me 5 hours to climb up there.
I can imagine. Yeah. Yeah.
But prospecting outfit in there, the guy says, that was good. Says that's mountain climbing time, 1,000 feet an hour. Wow. Well, I was a little younger then, too. 67.
Mm-hmm. You were 67 or no, it was 1967?
1967.
Right.
33, I'd have been 34 years old.
Right.
A little better shape then.
So who did you fly in? Did you fly in with somebody you knew?
Cliff Nelson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a pilot and he was scared to heights.
Yeah.
Was he based here in Northway?
No, he was down here in early to mid-50s.
Uh-huh.
And he was a friend of Harold Johnson.
Okay.
And decided to go sheep hunting, so me and Harold and Lauren Benham and Cliff Nelson went in to go sheep hunting. I got a sheep. Didn't last long. We divided it up.
And you said you got a second sheep?
A couple of years later.
Uh-huh.
Flew in.
Same place?
A different place.
Okay.
Yeah, and the horse failed.
Okay.
Did you do any trapping too, David?
I started trapping the fall of 1942. Mm-hmm. We're in Wisconsin. Trapping weasel.
9 years old.
Yeah.
Weasel, maybe a squirrel or a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Been trapping ever since.
Well, I figured, because are these for stretching beaver pelts?
I bought them muskrats.
Muskrats, okay.
Well, I got a trophy.
Right there in the corner? In that box in the corner?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
It's a least weasel. It's the smallest carnivore on earth.
Really?
It doesn't have the long tail with the black tip. It's got a short tail.
That's an adult least weasel.
That's an adult, yeah.
Awfully tiny.
And you see the picture up there with all the others?
Yeah.
Those are ermine. Okay. That is the least weasel.
And where did you get that?
Mile 1244. In a Martin trap.
In a Martin trap. What year? Do you remember what year?
It's marked down there.
Is it?
Gosh. February 16, 10.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'll take a picture later. Never seen one like that before.
Yeah. So it was in a Martin trap.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
And I think the son Mike has got it figured out why we don't catch more of them. They don't weigh enough to spring the trap.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They weigh up to 4 ounces.
So they could stand on that and it wouldn't even spring it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just walk right across it.
Yeah.
I did catch another one a year later and I gave it to my daughter. She hasn't had it mounted. Mm-hmm. I think it's still in the freezer.
Probably is.
But this one was unusual with the brown markings on it. It should have been all white. Mm-hmm. But that was the middle of February. It wasn't going to change anymore.
So did you still run your trap line?
Well, I had 200 traps out this past winter.
I'd say that's a yes. And how was trapping?
November and the first half of December, I caught marten.
Uh-huh.
And after that, almost nothing.
Lay down.
Just all at once, it dried up.
Huh.
And a normal year, I'd pick up 15 or 20 lynx. We got 3 this year. Well, I almost had 4.
Oh, a little bit of one. Huh.
Lay down.
Yeah, I got a toe off the hind foot.
Right.
A week later, the boys got it. They shot it.
So why the different this year?
I don't know. There was tracks early. Then all at once they vanished.
Over the years, have you noticed changes in the cycles?
Oh, yeah.
Are they quite repetitive or are they really changing?
I think every 7 or 8 years they build up and then drop.
The lynx do that.
Yeah, the lynx.
Yeah.
How about with some of the things like marten? Do you see same kinds of cycles that you see as with the lynx?
Well, here's an example. I started trapping marten on the Taylor Highway in 59 with the car. And I caught 19 marten. The next year I trapped a little bit longer, I got 31. And then the third year, I had that old truck to back me up. I could go out and pull the traps. I got 57. Well, the fourth year, Fred Twilliger from Toke, it was working up there, culvert stakes and whatnot for highways. He says, you're going to make a killing up there. He says, I saw 3 in a week. I went up and there were tracks all over, and I caught 2. Then I got to look, and the tracks come up on the road from the left-hand side, left on the right-hand side. They probably ended up back here on the Ladue.
Mm-hmm.
2 years in a row, I caught 2. And I caught almost 60 that 1 year. So, yeah, they vary.
Yeah. Have you noticed a change in the types of animals coming in on the land at all? Like, is there
No.
Pretty stable that way?
Yeah.
Okay. And what about the changes, like, in the landscape itself? Like, is it warmer, colder? Have you noticed winters aren't as cold as...
Well, this past winter, of course. The warmest we've had.
Yeah.
In all the years I've been here. That second winter would be the winter of 51, probably January or February 52. Officially, it hit 76 below over here. I think the firewood is coming out to stack half burn.
Yeah. And the cold spells don't last as long as they used to.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think that... we have anything to do with it. This change has been going on forever.
Yeah,
for thousands of years. The Ice Age and so on. I went up north with the brother a couple of years hunting. And the other side of Brooks Range, probably 50 miles from Prudhoe, the Sag River is out there a little ways, and you could walk out and fish. And they had kind of dikes, and picked up a couple of rocks there, coral.
Yeah.
And had a young lady stop out here, a couple of them, asking questions about the quartz and such. And I told her where I had found some, and I showed her that coral. What? She says, coral is only found so many degrees north and so many degrees south of the equator. Not the other side of the Brooks Range.
Right.
Yeah.
And my brother was hunting sheep up there, and he sat down to rest. And there on the rock is the imprint of a clamshell up in the mountains. So over the years, it's changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been changing for thousands of years. So.
Yeah, continually changing.
And we're not going to stop it.
Right. Hmm. So how many muskrats in a season have you been getting?
Well, I bought them the other day.
Oh, yeah. They're new. Okay.
Stretched them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm maybe caught about 200 in a year. Mm-hmm. And I've been buying them for quite a while. In 77 and 78, 2 years in a row, I hunted 16,000 muskrats from this area,
yeah.
Northway and Tatlin. Last year, 900.
Hmm. And you
different people that the older ones have died off, the ones that had to live off the land. And now with the welfare and food stamps and so on, they don't have to. And there's an awful lot of muskrats this year.
Just because people aren't harvesting them like they used to.
Yeah,
right.
Lots of muskrats and very few people out trying to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Have to take them in and let them look out that spotting scope at 10 Mile Lake.
Mm.
All them little spots out there.
All the push-ups.
Yep.
Yeah.
That lake, I'll bet there is 200. Push-ups.
I know there's 200 because I had at one time counted, I forgot how many, well over 100 on this side. And
yeah.
A couple of days ago, I counted 112 on the back side.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure there's more on this side.
And in the old days, there'd have been trapping every one of them.
What about the beaver population then, too? Has it gone up, too?
Yeah.
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 So how long have you been buying furs?
I started that, I think, in 72.
Mm-hmm. And how have the number of trappers changed over the years?
Oh, it's changed. Changed a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's not many of them now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple around here. One of them, Louis Frank. He's up in his 70s.
Yeah.
He ain't going to quit until he's dead.
No, he won't.
He almost done that last year.
Mm.
He got out there, and why he was out when it was that cold, I don't know. Then the machine froze up. He done some walking, built a fire, and burnt what wood there was there. And Glenn Dimmitt then went out looking for him and found him, and if he hadn't, that would have been it.
Mm-mm.
That would have been the end of it.
Mm.
Gosh. Brought him in, took him in to Fairbanks. He survived.
Didn't
his body it. Temperature, I forget what they said it was.
Really
it was
low?
Low.
Awful low.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Are most of the folks trapping these days older? Or are there young folks getting started trapping?
Not really.
I don't think there's very many of the younger ones that are doing anything like that.
I got no traps. I got no traps.
Yeah.
There's got to be a million of them out there in the brush.
Well, you know, if anybody gets traps, then somebody else sees them, well, they'll take them. You know, that's really bad. Really bad around here.
Whereas before, you would never steal anybody else's traps.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
But now it's endemic, is it?
I don't know what they do with them when they do take them, because there's not, you know, it doesn't mean that anybody else is starting to trap or anything. Maybe they sell them.
Right.
Thursday or something.
Huh. And you've got a little bunch of fur all hanging up there, David. What are those?
Well,
tails.
There's probably a story.
White tails off from weasels that were damaged, mice got to, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the tails are flying squirrel.
Oh.
One of them with the white on the side. I had a link set. I had a trap and a couple of snares. And the trap was sprung. And a friend says, I know what happened. He says, the old cat backed up, got his tail and a snare. Now, how do you get a tail like that and a snare this size? And it got a good hold because it got the skin off of the tail. The next year, half a mile from there, I got a lynx with no tail.
There you go.
Just a little bone sticking out. Yeah, you can do stuff with weasel tails, too. Just
decorative.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
It's our foster daughter's graduation dress.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
That's lovely.
Now she's gone.
She's in Fairbanks.
Oh. Lovely. Who made the outfit?
I did.
Beautiful.
I had help on the beaded hearts on there.
Mm-hmm.
The center of the hearts is caribou hair tufting.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I don't do much bead work, so I had help on that, but pretty much did the rest of it. This piece of moose hide, there was a couple of ink marks.
Oh.
Sometimes, especially the commercial ones, they'll put a black ink, you know, they'll stamp mm-hmm. it with some sign of some sort
mm-hmm.
on the side that we use that goes out. They don't put it on the smooth side. They put it on the fuzzy right. side. And so I've put these hearts over the top of those two little black marks. Just tried to do this stuff special for her because this, you know, Dad caught the weasels. These beads here were some that were in her mom's stuff, and her mom had passed away.
Aww.
And we just, you know, fixed it up. And this inner hair there was supposed to represent the little tufts of that...
Like the cotton grass?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's what that was for.
Right. And the same...
And this is...
down on the sleeves.
Arctic fox.
Mm-hmm.
On the... There. And then there's... beads, the bigger beads on
the sleeve,
and these are heart-shaped beads here, the red ones.
Uh-huh.
But these made her a dress when she was about 8,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted it like that. Well, it's different, but a lot alike. She wanted the white fur on the ends of the deals there, you know,
right.
the fringe.
And you said this was her graduation?
Yeah.
From high school?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Lovely. And what's her name?
Erica.
Erica.
She was almost amazing. 2.
Yeah, she was almost 2.
When she was placed with us.
Oh.
Yeah. And, yes, we were hooked instantly.
All you had boys. Were all your children?
One girl.
One girl.
Yeah.
And then you have Erica.
And then Erica much, much later.
Right. So the other family had kind of grown up.
They were all grown up.
And now you have a new one. Yes, I can see you were hooked.
And there's a picture of her, that top left picture over there, that everybody calls that one Mowgli.
So now she's in Fairbanks, is she?
She's in Fairbanks, yeah.
And did you do other skin sewing?
Not very much.
Okay. I've talked to some couples where the husband was a trapper and fur buyer. And...
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really get into that. I was busy doing other things.
Yeah.
I do regular sewing on a sewing machine. Mm.
Yeah, we heard that you make quilts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Lately, I've been doing small designs. I want to give my kids each something. So I'm doing some small items that I'm going to put them in picture frame.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeannie Teasdale over here, I gave her a little quilt design that I had pieced together and framed it for her. She just loves it.
Lovely.
Yeah. That's I put it in a 8x10 frame.
Very nice.
But, so I've been getting, you know, thinking of ideas for different... I want each one of them to have a different design.
Yeah, very nice. How's the price of fur changed then over the last several years, David?
Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Muskrats a couple of years ago averaged me about $10. And In January, they sold 900 of them for me at $5. And I don't know what these are going to bring, maybe even a little less.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, the lynx averaged 300. Now they're down to a little over 100. Martin prices are good yet.
Okay.
Close to $100.
H for Martin.
Although a couple of years ago, I'm pretty sure that my Martin averaged 200.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just back and forth.
Right, right. You sell them at a... I'll let them talk first, because it's hard to...
We should wait until...
You sell them through like a wholesale fur buyer or...
Auction.
Auction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get sent out to...
sit down.
Canadian auction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Edmonton or?
It's not Edmonton. There's an auction out Montreal? In Edmonton.
Montreal? Was it Montreal?
Yeah, Montreal.
Okay. Right. Well, hopefully prices will come back up for you.
Put it down.
Oh, back and forth. Part of it this year may be the Russian dollar is only worth half what it was.
And they were big fur buyers?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then there'll be maybe 500 people there at that auction. So it's more than just Russia. China and Taiwan are big consumers.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I've noticed in the fashion industry, I don't think it's real fur, but you can see fur coming back as a trimming on clothing.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see in a few years if the fur makes a comeback in the clothing mm-hmm. industry like it, you yeah. know, was 20 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just need one Hollywood superstar to wear it and everybody will wear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you going to be trapping again this winter?
If I'm still alive.
You will be.
Oh, you will.
You will.
You mostly trap along the road these yeah. days?
Yeah. I've got asthma.
Uh-huh.
And any exertion, I run out of wind.
Mm.
So my traps are awful close to the road. Just set them where very few people even notice them. But,
then you can use your truck or the snowmobile to go and get them.
The truck.
Truck.
Right. Before season was even over, he was saying, next year I'm going to do this.
And before the season opens, I'll go out and for Martin, I make boxes about that big square and so long. Three-sided.
But a foot long and in there, 6 inches high. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'll go out ahead of season and string them out along the road and tie the traps out. So that opening day, I get to set lots of them.
Yeah, that's all he has to do then is just go set them.
Right. Everything's already done in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you go out and trap too, Moira?
No.
That's not your thing.
Let him do that.
Right.
No, she trapped me.
Yeah.
That's enough.
That's a big catch.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever trap further out away from the road, or have you always trapped more along the road?
I used to get a little farther out, and then... for many years, I'd go down towards the border and get on the snow machine and go out to Scotty Creek, down Scotty Creek to the river, follow that a ways, and then on the far side, get out in the timber and trap. And then I'd cross the river again below the mouth of Gardner Creek, come out to Dead Man Lake and up the old pipeline right away home. 43 miles on the snow machine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take him down, drop him off early in the morning, yeah. come home and wait for him to come back. You trapped out here some, across the river out here.
Yeah. Yeah, been going out across the river about 6 miles each way recently. Same old machine.
Yeah, 40 how many years old is it?
It's a 70.
1970 snowmobile. Yeah.
Well, it's pieced together.
45-year-old snow machine.
But I imagine you fix it, right? When things can go wrong, you can still fix it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I stick with it. because it's very simple. It's primitive. There is nothing to it.
Yeah.
And it works. It does what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever trap with a partner, or have you always trapped pretty much on your own?
Pretty much on my own.
Do you ever take the kids out?
I've took them out a couple of times.
But wasn't something they got...
Yeah, it might be their school day. My week in, for highways would eat up their... they were setting traps of their own.
Yeah, they've done some trapping.
So they had their own trap lines.
Even our daughter still does some trapping.
Oh. So your kids must have gone to school in Northway then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's probably when the school was much bigger than it is now. And
yeah. Even before they even had a high school. Because Larry had to go to high school in Tok, the oldest one. And then Steve, they just got the new school when he was going into high school. So he was right at the head of that.
Oops. I can just press stop for a minute.